Well, you know, Dad always likes to start it with holding up our Bibles. So let me see y'all hold your Bible up high, shake it, give the devil a migraine. Come on, I'm going to wait for you. Get your phone out, your pad. Come on, come on, come on. Here we go. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, say that again, I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'm about to receive the incorruptible, the indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. Here's my favorite part. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, I get stronger and stronger. I promise this is the last time. Give the Lord a big hand clap before we get started. All right. Well, I'm blessed to be able to continue the message that Neil started and Dad continued. This is COTR. And what we're doing as a church is we are looking at some of our kind of macro attributes, our characteristics, our values as a church. Because how many know it's important that you agree with the church that you go to, right? And how many know it's important that what that church believes is based on God's word? Amen? So what I'd like to start out, we're going to just start right away with a big idea about another big value of Church on the Rock, and that is this. Church on the Rock is a place where we believe God is a good God and that he loves to demonstrate his favor in our lives. Okay, let's try that. Okay, all right. So think about this. Think about all the churches you've been to growing up. And you know, most of the time, I you probably didn't hear that probably, right? You thought God was this old man trying to beat you over the head with a cane when you messed up. But at Church on the Rock, we believe, this is a place where we believe God is a good God and that he loves to demonstrate his favor in your lives. There we go. That's what I like to hear. Now, divine favor, we talk about that. It's a churchy word. I get it. But what we're talking about is God's blessing, his approval. You know, his favor, it can manifest as protection. It can manifest as provision or success. And I can already see on some of your faces when I asked you to cheer that God's a good God, some of you are already thinking, man, Daniel, that's cool. That's great. I know that. But you don't know the kind of person I am. You know, I've messed up a lot this week. I mean, just on the way to church, I was yelling at my wife or I was yelling at the kids and, you know, I'm not that faithful. Or maybe you're one of those people that, you know, say, you know, Daniel, it always happens for them. It never happens for me. That favor stuff, it just never happens for me. Let me encourage you by telling you a not so spiritual story. But when I was growing up, my dad used to get the St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper delivered to the house every day. Do you guys remember what an actual newspaper looked like? My kids didn't know. They have no clue. It was before they were born. But a newspaper, right? And every day he would have his muffin and his coffee, and he would be reading from his newspaper. And I would look forward to this one thing. He would pull out the page, the funny papers, right? The comics. Do you guys remember that? There was daily comics in the newspaper. And I thought that was really cool. He'd give that to me. But there was this one particular comic called Dennis the Menace. Oh, I see. You know that comic, Dennis the Menace. And for those of you that aren't spiritual, Dennis is an 8-year-old boy with blonde hair, right? And he is a menace. He is a hellion to the neighborhood. He causes trouble. He stirs up all kinds of stuff wherever he goes. And he's particularly a thorn in the side of this gentleman named Mr. Wilson. Ah, so you remember Mr. Wilson, right? And then he was married to Mrs. Wilson, right? Who no matter what Dennis would do, she would continue to lavish her mercy and love upon him. She loved him, but Mr. Wilson just hated his guts, you know? But in this one window, the first window of the comic, it shows Dennis with his best friend Joey. They're sitting on the curb of the street, and they're eating these great big chocolate chip cookies, right? And they got chocolate all over their face, Neil. There's crumbs all over the ground, and they're just having a good time, you know? And Joey leans over to Dennis, and he says, you know, Dennis, I don't understand. I just don't understand. Why would Mrs. Wilson give us these cookies when we haven't been good? And Dennis waits for a second. He says, Joey, he said, the reason she gives us these cookies isn't because we're good. It's because she's good. Are you catching what I'm trying to say here today? God's favor isn't based upon what you do. God's favor is based upon your faith in Jesus Christ. Do you understand? It's not based on how good you were this week. If you believe in Christ, if you've asked him into your heart, guess what? You have a promise of divine favor. You can expect it. You can believe God that although you got that report from the doctor this week that said you only got a few months to live, no, I am walking in God's divine favor, God's healing. He's a good God, and I expect it. Now, I heard a theologian say that the next verse that I'm going to read to you, it's in Exodus chapter 34, that it's the most quoted verse in the Old Testament. And it's actually the picture of when Moses, he encounters God face to face. And it tells us a little bit about God's character and just how great he is. I want to read it to you. It says here, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love, and he's abounding in faithfulness. Sounds like a pretty good God that we serve, doesn't it? A little bit different picture than religions tried to paint over the years. When I look at that verse, I see a God of compassion. When I look at that verse, I see a gracious God. That's favor right there, right? Unmerited favor. I see patience. I see love. I see faithfulness. One verse that my dad always used to quote to me when I was growing up was Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3. He says, he's the God that forgives all your sins, and he heals all of your diseases. The reason I'm telling you all these great things about the God that you serve is because when you know how great the God is that you serve, you can expect great things in 2026. You serve a good and loving God. He wants the best for you. He wants to see your family succeed. Well, I've been really enjoying my one-year Bible. How about you guys? Now, how many have been reading your one-year Bible? I want you to be totally honest. You're in church right now. Raise your hand. How many have been reading your one-year Bible? Okay. You can pick it up today. I encourage you to do it. But those of you who have been reading your one-year Bible, you probably saw that we've been looking at the story of Jacob. Jacob and Esau. You guys with me, right? Because I'm going to jump around a little bit and refer to our reading, okay? And so Jacob, he is a man that's in need of God's favor. If you know anything about Jacob, like when I talked about Jabez, his name is a terrible name. His name means swindler. His name means cheat. His name means liar. And in fact, in the Hebrew, the picture is somebody that reaches up and trips you. Somebody that grabs you by the ankle. So, man, he had what is up with these parents naming their kids these names, right? A prophecy over his life. But if you remember from your reading this week, you know, he just lives this stuff out, right? He begins to cheat Esau, his brother, out of his birthright. Y'all remember that, right? He traded him for the porridge. I'll just move quickly through this. And then remember, he cheats Esau out of the blessing, right? He goes into his father. I mean, this is the worst thing, right? His dad is old and he can't see real well. And Jacob pretends that he's his brother, right? And lies to his father. His father says, who are you? I'm Esau. And he gets the blessing of his brother, right? So how many know Esau is very angry at this point? He is angry. He's been taken advantage of by his brother, so he wants to kill his brother, right? So the mom, she says, Jacob, you need to leave town. You need to run because your brother's going to kill you. So what does he do? He runs to his uncle's house, and it gets almost even worse there. He's there for a couple years. He gets married, but again, he goes back to lying and cheating. And then not only is he lying and cheating, right? Laban is lying and cheating, his uncle. And so it gets so bad there that Laban wants to kill him. So now God tells him he's got to go back. So can you imagine? He's surrounded on all sides. He's got people behind him that want to kill him, people in front of him that want to kill him. He needs some favor, amen? He needs some divine favor. So what I'd like to do this week is actually pick up in this story where he's on his way back home, right? And Esau is coming to meet him. So you can imagine Jacob is very, very scared. He doesn't know what's going to happen. So we're going to pick up Genesis 32, verses 4 through 5. And what we're going to pull out from this passage is little principles that you and I can use to position ourselves to experience God's favor. Sound good? Okay, you with me? All right, here we go. Genesis 32, verses 4 through 5. He's telling his men, he says, he instructed them, this is what you are to say to my brother, my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, I've been staying with Laban, and I've remained there till now. I have cattle, I have donkeys, I have sheep, I've got goats, male and female servants. Now I'm sending this message to my lord that I might find favor in your eyes. Everyone say favor. Say favor. Jacob needed favor. Now, the first step for you and I to walk in God's favor, to experience it, to position ourselves in that favor we've been promised, is we have to walk in humility. Walk in humility. The verse, James 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, in this verse, what you're seeing, Jacob, in that story, he knows that Esau is on his way to meet him, right? And so what he's kind of doing is he's kind of doing a flex. Do you know what that is? Like, he's kind of showing him all the stuff that he has. He's hoping that somehow he can get favor with his brother by showing him all the cool stuff he did, right? Like, look how rich I am. Look how prosperous I am. Look how successful I am, right? He's kind of doing a flex. He's definitely not walking in humility. And when I say humility, what I'm talking about is not so much, you know, that we think of less of ourselves, but what I'm talking about is that you think of yourself less. When we talk about humility, we talk about we're putting God first. We're saying, God, I need you. When we talk about humility, we're talking about putting our own wants and desires aside and serving others, right? And giving our lives to help others, feed the poor, help the sick and the widow. And, you know, I think this point is really apropos because this is a weekend where we are celebrating Martin Luther King Jr., right? We are celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. And, you know, besides all the amazing and great things that he did for the world and equality and justice for everyone, I heard Dr. Bernice, who's his daughter, she was saying in an interview, she said, you know, something I wish people wouldn't forget when they think about Dr. King and all the great things that he's done and his Nobel Peace Prize and all his thousands of awards that he's gotten is, she said, I wish people would remember and not forget that he was a humble man. Dr. King was a humble man. And she said, you know, first and foremost, before anything else, he saw himself as a local pastor. You know, not a civil rights leader, not a world changer, you know, not somebody that on TV all the time, but he saw himself as a local pastor, and he loved to help the lowly, the weakest in his congregation, the poor, the hurting, the widow. He loved to serve. And I thought, you know, when I was looking at some of his sermons, 2 months before he was assassinated, exactly 2 months, he taught this sermon at Ebenezer Baptist Church, his local church, and the name of the sermon was called The Drum Major. And I thought this really encapsulated Neil, who he was. He said he was talking all about pride and humility and the importance of service to others and laying down your own wants, your own desires, and giving your life away, right? And being a person of humility. You ever hear that phrase, beating your own drum? That's why he titled that sermon, The Drum Major, right? He was saying we shouldn't be somebody beating their own drum and saying, hey, look at me. Look at all I'm doing. Put your eyes on me. He was saying, we need to do the opposite of that. But as you get to the end of his message, I just want to bring out a few points, if that's cool, and just read what he said there. And you can really see what type of a humble human he was. This is really something. He says here, if any of you are around when I have to meet my day, he's talking about his funeral. He's really prophesying 2 months away, he's about to be assassinated. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. Every now and then, he says, tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I would like somebody to mention that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I want you to be able to say that day that I did my best to try to feed the hungry. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who are in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. I thought that was so good. That's humility. That's service. That's laying down, right, his life. And we see with Jacob, he was doing the complete opposite of that, right? Jacob was a flexing, right? He was showing, here's my Bentley, here's my vacation, check out my Instagram, that type of thing, right? He's, look what I did, right? But here, look what happens. Genesis 32, verse 6. So look what happened when his messengers came back after going and doing this flex. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, we went to your brother Esau, and now he's coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. So do you see what happened? He tried to flex and do this, and what happened? It didn't work. Esau sending an army to wipe out Jacob. He beat his own drum. He tried to show his own strength, but guess what? It didn't work at all. So look, a light comes on. Jacob realizes, I have to humble myself. I have to seek the Lord. I have to put my trust in my own strength and my own networking and my own, you know, charisma, but I have to start seeking the Lord. Genesis 32, verse 9. Look what he does. He prays. He says, oh, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. Look at this, verse 10. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I've become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I'm afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. Do you see the change there? Do you see the change? Come on, guys, are you awake? Do you see the change? Jacob, in one verse, he's flexing, talking about how great he is, but then he realizes it doesn't work when he sees that army coming his way. And so what does he do? He turns to the Lord. He seeks the Lord. There's some of you today that you've yet to ask Jesus into your heart. There's some of you today that you've been trying to get by on your own charisma, your networking, your college degree, and guess what? You're finding out it doesn't work, just like Jacob. It's time to begin to walk humbly before our Lord, our God. Amen? It's time to begin to seek the Lord. It's time to begin to ask God what he thinks about our decisions and our next step that we are to take. Number two thing to help us walk in the favor of God this year is this: speak what God has said. Speak what God has said. Can we say that together? Speak what God has said. Look back up here at Genesis 32, verse 9. I want to bring it out. It says, oh, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me. Do you see what he's doing? He's putting God in remembrance of his word. Jump down to verse 12. He's talking to God again. He says, but you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. You and I, if we want to walk in God's favor, we've got to speak what he has said. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, it says in Proverbs 18:21. How many of you know that the words that you and I speak have incredible power? They can either build up, they can tear down, they can bless, they can curse. And when you and I, we speak words of faith, we speak words of encouragement, guess what? It creates a perfect climate for God's favor to thrive. When you and I, we do like what Jacob did here, and we begin to align our speech with God's truth, we create an atmosphere where God's favor can just thrive, thrive, thrive. And so I just want to encourage you today, again, no matter what you're facing today, it may look like there is a relationship in your life that is broken, that looks like God, you know, man, I don't know how this could ever come back together. Begin to align your words. Don't say, oh, it's over. That relationship's done for. Begin to say, no, God is working all things together for my good. Some of you today, you might be facing untold amounts of anxiety and fear in your life. You don't know where your next paycheck's gonna come from. You're just living a life of anxiety. It looks really bad. I encourage you, quit saying what you see. Begin to say, 2 Timothy, what it says there, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You know, many of you, you've been told you can do this, you can't do that. You have, our parents say things over sometimes that they're well-meaning, but you know what? Sometimes they hurt us and they keep us in a box. Don't begin to say what they say. Don't continue to say, I'm shy. Don't begin to say, I'm not very smart. Don't begin to say, you know, I'm just not healthy because of my parents. Begin to say, no, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Begin to speak what God has said. Now, number three, as the team comes up, don't let go of your faith. And now, Nicole, she did this in prayer today. It's so good. Don't let go of your faith. Now, here we see after, in Genesis 32, after Jacob prays and asks for God's help, something happens. Let's go ahead and just read it right here. It says, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I love this, I will not let you go until you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. In verse 28, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you struggle with God and with humans and have overcome. I love this verse. A lot of theologians tell us that that man that he wrestled with that night was actually God, right? It was actually God or an angel. And I love it. Jacob refused to let go. Jacob, no matter how hard God tried to get away, Jacob held on to his faith. He knew what God has promised, and he was not going to let him go until he gets that blessing. And so I want to encourage you, many of you, you're wrestling, you're struggling. Don't give up. Be like Jacob. Hold on to that promise that God has given you. Many of you, you're confused about your future. Daniel, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Don't stop trusting God. God's working all things together for your good. Many of you, your finances are a wreck, but I just encourage you, continue to speak God's word. A couple things I want to bring out from this little part of the story. You know, think about this. The last person to ask Jacob his name was his father, and he lied. Do you remember? He said, I'm Esau, I'm not Jacob. But notice there's a change in character. He's humble now. So when the angel, when God asked him, right, says, what's your name? He says, I'm Jacob. I'm a liar, right? The other thing that we see, right, in this verse, right, is that he touched his hip and he walked with a limp as he walked away. He was changed, right? That's another picture. And then he gets his blessing. Another thing I like about this, too, is, you know, whenever we see Jacob in these previous verses, he's running from his problems. He's always going away. But after he meets with God, holds on to him, refuses to let go of that blessing, now he's walking straight towards Esau. He knows he's got God's blessing. He knows he's got God's favor on his life. But the point I want to bring out to you is he's walking with a limp. He's walking with a limp. He's got a different name, a different blessing. Is that I know many of you have been struggling with the same thing for a long time, and you've been speaking evil over it. You've been speaking negative over it. And I want to encourage you, change your talk about it. Because God is using those circumstances to shape you. He's changing you. He's molding you into the person that can carry his favor, that can actually fulfill the call that he has for your life. You know, he went away that day with a different name, a different person. He wasn't the same because of his encounter and refusing to let go. So don't curse what you're going through right now. God's using it to make you and mold you. In Exodus 33, we see the encounter of when Jacob meets Esau. And look what happens here. Verses 3 through 4, it says, Jacob himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. And Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Isn't that cool? In the natural, you'd think Esau would be coming out there with a sword and with those 400 men. But no, because Jacob did those three things, right? He humbled himself. He began to say what God said about him. And he refused to let go of the word that God had given him. He had divine favor. God went in there. Jacob didn't even have to touch it. And God went behind the scenes and he worked things out. Don't you love that? When you're so worried about something, you're so, oh my gosh, how's this going to work out? And the whole time, God was just waiting on you to get ready, you know, get things out of your life you shouldn't, begin to say what he says. And he's back there working things out. You show up and you get a hug when you're expected to get fired, right? You get a hug when you're expected to get bad news. That's the way God does it. This building that you're in right here, I just want to end with this. this building right here really is a miracle of God's grace, of God's favor on our lives. And, you know, we have one of our original members down here, Kumar. He's one of the original 35. Give Kumar a big hand clap. And one of the original 35 members of this church, you know, this building, we broke ground for it on in year 2000. And it was supposed to be a certain amount of money, and it ended up being a whole lot more than that. You know, when Pastor prayed, we had a whole team of people anointing the beams as they went into the ground. I mean, we had prayer meetings. We were sponsoring seats. We were sponsoring beams. We were doing the 29 Club. Many of you that are here today, you are praying and believing God for this building. And you know, we prayed that God would help us in the natural. We thought it was going to happen quick, but guess what? It was a struggle. It was a struggle. Something that we thought would be done maybe in 2 years, right? It took several, didn't it, Kumar? Kumar worked on it. He was in the middle of it. It took several years. And you know, even after that, even after we got into the building, there was all kinds of overruns, all kinds of stress. I remember going up to my dad's office, and he'd have just piles of bills, contractors wanting this, and you know, lawyers calling here wanting to sue the church, and the city's mad about this. And it was a constant struggle. But you know, Dad, I saw him. He would just keep, he'd be walking in his office. He'd have them in his hands. He'd be praying in the spirit. He'd be speaking the word. Daniel's going to be okay. Daniel, Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. I'm like, I didn't have faith. I was like, are you sure, Dad? This man, you know, he had some pastor friends they had left during the building program. I was like, man, I'm surprised you haven't. But no, he refused to let go of his faith. He refused to let go of the word that God had given him for this church and for this building. And I could say, give all glory to the Lord, but, you know, thank you to everyone that prayed, all of you that you held on to your faith. You spoke the word over this place. Today, after all these years, after all the struggle, you know, we sit in a building that is 100% debt-free. Isn't that awesome? 100% debt-free. But it's all because of God's favor and those of you that held on to your faith. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes right now? You know, you might be here today and you say, Daniel, you know, I was listening to your message and you got to that first point where you were talking about how we should walk in humility. And I really identified with Jacob. You know, I've been trying to do everything on my own. I've been working hard. I've been hustling. I've been trying to network. I've been trying to politic, try to get to know the right people. I've been working on all these degrees, my education. But you know, still, I find myself empty. I've been working hard. I've been doing everything I know to do, but yet still, I find myself empty. And you say today, Daniel, I know like Jacob did, I need to ask God into my life. I need to humble myself. I need to seek the Lord. I need to ask Jesus to be Lord over my life and take over. If that's you and you're here today, you say, Daniel, that's the way I've been living my life. I've been trying to do it all by myself. Or maybe you're here today and you kind of been one foot in and one foot out. Maybe you've been doing that like you haven't given God 100% of your life. Just here and there when you think about it. If you're in either one of those two categories, I encourage you right now, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you this morning. You say, God, I want to give you it all today. Jesus, I want to surrender everything to you. I need your help. Would you raise your hand high? It's just going to be a quick prayer. We're not going to call you forward, not going to embarrass you. Come on, raise your hand high this morning. I want to pray with you. I want to see who I'm praying with today. We're not going to embarrass you or call you forward. But you would say, Daniel, I want to start anew this year, 2026, giving my life 100% to the Lord. Awesome. You could put your hands down. Church, let's all of us say this prayer together. Let's say it like we mean it with authority. Say, Dear Heavenly Father. Okay, church, come on. Let's put a little more. I'm excited. We got people that are coming into the family of God right now. So come on, let's say it like we need it. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sin and he rose again on the third day. Now, Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And take over 100% of my life. In your name, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand clap.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church in the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church in the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.